You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Well, it is 7:01 right now. It is our Teaching Tuesday. And so what does that mean? It is time for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. Good morning to you, Nancy.
Good morning to you, Steve and Kelly.
You know, you just brought up the fact that you, near to you, where you are located, is a fine donut shop, and you say it has the best coffee ever.
Yes, yes. So, it's one of the things, you know, in Denver, people get excited about the skiing and all that. Me?
Coffee.
Good coffee. And this place is phenomenal, and it's very close.
What makes the coffee so good?
I can't figure it out. I don't know. I asked them that, and they pointed to some coffee beans, and I went, no, I'm not the coffee grinding person. I'll just drive over here or walk and get it.
I don't want to put in the effort, you people.
No. It's scary, though, because they know me by name, and I'm wearing a mask, of course. So, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's good, though.
That is too
Somebody's
funny.
Got a habit.
Yes. Yes.
That's okay.
Exactly.
That's all right.
Oh.
Well, we're glad that you're able to join us, because this is a really, really good question that we've got to unpack today.
Why did he leave us?
Yeah. And that came about, that question came, seems a little out there right now, but it came from a student. Just after I'd finished teaching an Anchors Way class on the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, you know, just the whole point of Jesus was his death and resurrection, you know, and we make a big deal out of it. And the students, of course, during the class and after the class, had a bunch of questions as they tried to ingest the magnitude of this miracle. I mean, wow, death to life, what's that mean and all this? And one student, after several questions, blurted this one out. He said, I don't understand why Jesus didn't take the believers with him when he went to heaven. I mean, it just doesn't seem fair. He left them in a mess. We've been talking about Roman oppression and Christians, you know, who were being killed and harassed for their faith, and frightened followers, and a community that thought Jesus had come to set them free from the Romans. He said, why would God leave us here? And when he said it, at first I thought, what are you talking about? And I thought, you know what, that is an honest, it's fair, it's a challenging question. And I told him, we'll get to it next week and process through that. Why on earth did Jesus not take the believers with him? And I think as we look at this question, which is what I really want to kind of go through this morning, is that we all believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose again, proving that he's God. Yes, he did. And we as Christians have the promise that we're going to heaven when we die, unless the rapture comes first. It's kind of, you know, this way or this way. But for those followers who are left with Jesus, and for us today, he didn't leave us as orphans. If you remember, he told the disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit, a comforter, to live in them, the Holy Spirit, not just with them, but to live in them, to comfort them, to teach them, to convict them, to guide them. You know, no matter what the circumstance, you know, he said, I will be with you through the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, that answer really comes of this student. Part of it is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and God made it very clear to him when Jesus was praying, this idea that all believers would remain behind, but with the promise that God would be with them and protect them. And that's in John 17:11, when he said, I will remain in the world no longer. This is Jesus praying. But they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Protect them, because I, through the Holy Spirit, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, will be in them. So protect them. And I thought it was an interesting statement. Protect them from what?
We often hear that God wants the best for us. We hear that God wants us to be happy. Do you really believe, and is it possible, that the end result of why Jesus died was simply for that purpose, so that we could be happy?
You know, no. That we might have peace through the Holy Spirit who lives in us, yes. To be happy, no. And, you know, it's not that he doesn't want us happy, because there's joy and joy and joy upon joy. I mean, just praying in the morning brings great joy. But God did not die to make us happy. He didn't die to make things easy for us. Jesus died so we could be righteous, that standing of righteousness, so we could be guilt-free, so we could be free from the penalty of sin, so allowing us to have fellowship with him. And, you know, another piece to that with the Holy Spirit, so we can be directed through this ugliness that we're even facing today, through the Holy Spirit. Listen, as believers, we're children of God. We're friends of God, yes. But with that comes considerable responsibility. It's just not a free-for-all. It's not about us. Oh, God, you never answer my prayers. Okay, how about being obedient a little bit? How about loving, going out of your way and loving somebody that I put on your mind? It's just not about us, even in the little things. Because being a follower of Jesus, as we all know, can be extremely difficult. Extremely. And nonetheless, God has called us to go with humility into this world today, into the darkness and sinfulness of a world. And sometimes that world is our family. To love the unlovable and share the good news of Jesus. And, you know, I think in Matthew 28, when Jesus was leaving, this is what he said. It's usually, you know, when your kids, you're leaving your kids and you'll give them that last moment advice. This was the great command, the life command. This is what Jesus said. And Jesus came to them and said this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
So, Nancy, when we're explaining this to other people who might be hearing it for the first time, trying to help make sense out of this the way that you did for this student that asked the question to begin with, how can we make it plain and understandable? How do we explain what our part is in all of this, what we're to be doing?
Yeah, and I think, you know, go to all the nations need to be broken down for us. And essentially, Kelly, what I think that means is that our mission is not to hide. Our mission is to go with love and humility and hope to those who are suffering. And to be honest with you, I think this is what we were talking about a little earlier with COVID, where we're hiding up. And yes, we're relational people, but God has called us to go. And now we're wearing masks and we can't really see the faces or the expressions, but we still go. We're still called to go. And the question is, Jesus left us behind to teach the truth and to preach the gospel of eternal life. To be justice amid the injustice. To care for the sick. To be an advocate to those with no voice, for those with no voice, which covers a gamut of people, including the unborn, to be that voice for those who cannot speak themselves. Listen, he calls us to give to the poor, to feed the hungry, to bring hope to the hopeless, and to comfort the hurting. And he challenges us to live with humility in the midst of the proud, to be a culture changer of a culture who has gone mad, to stand for truth. And the key to this is, listen, it's not easy. Jesus tells us there's going to be pure persecution and hardship and rejection. He doesn't paint a rosy-colored picture of how easy it is to be a disciple of his. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. He's saying, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Listen, what he's saying is, this is part of it. This is just part of it. But I am with you.
You know, I got to think about the words here that James writes. James writes to us, and he speaks about boasting about tomorrow. Tomorrow, you go into such a town and such a, you know, place and spend a year there, trade, make a profit, but you don't understand what tomorrow is going to bring. What is your life? He says, but it is a mist that appears for a little time and then it vanishes. So compared to eternity, we here on earth, it's just this very short period of time. How should you and I be spending our time as nothing but a vapor?
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a great question, Steve, because when we're in the stuff, you know, of life, we think that this is destined to be forever. And we just can't pull ourselves back and say, you know what? My time here is like a mist. It's going to be gone in a nanosecond. And I think those of us who remember like yesterday changing diapers, and I had four kids, six and under, and I'm thinking this diaper chain will never end. And boom, all of a sudden, they're grown and they're gone. And you're going, what on earth happened to this time? But the thing I think that God is telling us, no matter how brief our time is on this planet, I think we all need to be very aware that this time, every minute matters to God. And within this small time compared to eternity, you know, this blip, he has given us the opportunity and frankly the privilege to serve and to suffer and to glorify him while we're here. And we as Christians are just passing through this earth, you know. Our home is heaven. But until then, daily, moment by moment, listen, there's much to be done. God is in our midst. He's there encouraging us. He's our advocate. And we will have the privilege, and I say the privilege, and for some it's the fear, the almighty fear of just going, oh my goodness, the awesomeness, the bigness of God, that someday we will be standing before him and giving an account of how we loved him, essentially. And that's in the scriptures. And I love this little piece from Matthew 25. I just want to read it just a little bit. I think it's verse 37 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit. And then the righteous will answer them, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in or need clothes or clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And wow, you know, Jesus left us only for a time. And this is the answer to this student's question. You know, Jesus left us just for a time. He promised to return the same way he left. And for those who love him and obey him, listen, our reward is huge. It's great. It's bigger than we can imagine. Because that time is coming, my friends. In Revelation 21, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and he'll be their people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, no crying or pain, for the order of things has passed away. That's why he left us, to do his work, to bring people into this kingdom through the work of the Holy Spirit, so that someday, eternally, we can all rejoice. He will come and get us in his timing, not our own. So the answer to his story is, that is why. And it's worth fighting for, that's for sure.
It's an incredible picture of redemption.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I've loved this today. You know, I think about, as I'm listening to you talk, Nancy, just about when Jesus was here on the earth and the Jewish people knew to be looking for a Messiah, but so many didn't believe that he was the Messiah because he didn't come in the way that they expected. They wanted a Messiah who was going to come and conquer Rome and free them from oppression. But, you know, when I think, you know, as he began to reveal himself, the magnitude of what God has done through Jesus and the surety of it, it cannot be shaken. The enemy cannot prevail against it. And our faith in him is not, it is not misplaced. Our salvation is sure. We are marked with the Holy Spirit against the day of redemption. What he has done cannot be overturned. And it is just amazing to me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I called a friend. I was thinking about this question yesterday, of course, and so I decided just to call a friend of mine that I hadn't talked to, I knew was struggling a little bit, and talked to her for over an hour, and she said, it's so cool. She said, you know, I finally came to the understanding, and she said, when Satan begins to attack my mind out of loneliness, she said, I just told Satan, you can't afford me. You can't afford me. And I said, what? She said, no, the price that God paid for me is something that you, Satan, can't come close to. I was bought with a price, be gone. Oh. And I'm going, oh my goodness, I thought about that ever since. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And honestly, I am myself going to be calling friends that I know are struggling. I am going to be more vocal to reaching out to people during this time. That's what we've called to do, to go. And if we can't go in person, let's just pray for people. Let's call them. Let's just be encouragers. Because, you know, that's what God has called us to do, whether we can see him or not. But, yeah, well, listen. He can't touch us. He can't.
No, the enemy cannot. And that is the redeeming story of why he did leave us. Nancy Fitzgerald, thank you so much. You know, as I understand it, you have a new class coming up that's going to be launching in a week or two, huh?
We do. It's going to be a week from this coming Thursday. So definitely, you know, go online and give us a call, and if you want your junior or senior in high school to come, we'll be teaching right in Carmel at our office, and we're looking forward to it. You know, we're just going to kind of break through here and get these kids going. They need it desperately, and there's a ton of interest with these kids. They want to come. They want to learn, and so we're doing it. I didn't really think we were going to do it this year, but the need is there, and we're going. And we're excited about it. So, yeah, call our office at 317-844-0381. And we'll sign you up for your kids, college students too. Come, because now is the time, you know, to be comforted and to go. And so that's what we're really excited about. Grateful to God that we can do it this year.
Yeah, Oh, that is wonderful. Well, if you want to find out more details about that, you can go to kellyandsteve.org or you can go to anchorsaway.org, find the information, reach out, talk with Nancy, and get self set up.
All right. Nancy, thanks so much for chatting with us today. We're looking forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely. Oh, Burr. Oh, yeah, Burr.
Dress warmly.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh. I hope the propellers work. Oh,
oh yeah.
All righty. Well, I look forward to that kind of.
All right.
Yeah. All right. We'll start a fire. What can we burn around here?
Yeah, there you go.